Thursday, January 22nd, Day of Prayer for the Legal Protection of Unborn Children. The first reading from 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 9, and chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. When David and Saul approached, on David's return after slaying the Philistine, women came out from each of the cities of Israel to meet King Saul, singing and dancing, with tambourines, joyful songs, and sistrums. The women played and sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Saul was very angry and resentful of the song, for he thought, "They give David 10,000s, but only thousands to me. All that remains for him is the kingship." And from that day on, Saul was jealous of David. Saul discussed his intention of killing David with his son Jonathan and with all his servants. But Saul's son Jonathan, who was very fond of David, told him, "My father Saul is trying to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard tomorrow morning. Get out of sight and remain in hiding. I, however, will go out and stand beside my father in the countryside where you are, and will speak to him about you. If I learn anything, I will let you know." Jonathan then spoke well of David to his father Saul, saying to him, "Let not your majesty sin against his servant David, for he has committed no offense against you, but has helped you very much by his deeds. When he took his life in his hands and slew the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great victory for all Israel through him, you were glad to see it. Why then should you become guilty of shedding innocent blood by killing David without cause?" Saul heeded Jonathan's plea and swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed." So Jonathan summoned David and repeated the whole conversation to him. Jonathan then brought David to Saul, and David served him as before. Haydock Commentary. In the eyes of the Israelites, the death of Goliath was equivalent to the slaughter of thousands, as he had filled the whole army of Israel with dismay. These singing women were guilty of an indiscretion through excess of zeal, as it is always displeasing for the sovereign to hear any of his subjects preferred before him. So says St. John Chrysostom. The jealousy of Saul was the more excited as he had been threatened with the loss of his kingdom and perceived in David all the qualifications of a king. Those who are proud cannot bear the praises of others. Saul told Jonathan of his plans because he was most interested, as David might be feared as a competitor, and under the cloak of friendship, he might more easily destroy him. Saul was a stranger to the generous sentiments of his son, or he would never have made the proposal. Saul's inconstant temper might cause him to be moved with the expostulation of his son, but he presently relapsed, if he were ever sincere. The scripture seems to insinuate that he was. The Gospel from Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. Haydock Commentary. The unclean spirits were obliged by the divine power not only to come and worship, but also to declare his majesty, exclaiming, "Thou art the Son of God." How astonishing then is the blindness of the Arian heretics who, even after his resurrection, denied him to be the Son of God whom the devils confessed as such when clothed with human nature. But it is certain that not only the devils, but the infirm that were healed and the apostles themselves were forbidden, as well as the unclean spirits, to proclaim his divinity, lest the passion and death of Christ might be on that account deferred. So says Venerable Bede.